Welcome to People Over Pixels, a show exploring the human side of running a digital business. Giorgio here, and on this episode, Sam and I are talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the business awards industry. A controversial topic with strong opinions on both sides. Is it an opportunity to celebrate success, or a pay-to-win scam of industry backpatting? Listen in as we thoroughly explore the positives and the negatives of business awards, our own experiences of entering and attending, and what we'd love to change about awards themselves. We'll be sharing some true stories of what we love and what we hate, including how one member of an awards judging panel slated us for failing to change the world. And by the way, if you've enjoyed our first couple of episodes, we'd absolutely love it if you left us a little review on the podcast platform of your choice. Tell us what you've loved and want to hear more of, and I guess you should also share what's not been so great. Careful though, because Sam gets pretty sensitive. And don't forget to follow the podcast ready for future episodes. Okay, this is going to be a good one. So plump up the cushions and lean back as we begin episode 3 of People Over Pixels.
So today we're going to talk about the awards industry, the pros, the cons, and what works and what doesn't, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So why have we picked this topic today, Giorgio?
It's a really interesting topic to talk about. Awards are something that people have a lot of conflicting and controversial opinions about.
We're going to get the tea.
Yeah, time to get the tea. Yeah, that's very young. That's very youthful of you to use that phrase. I'm not sure that fits with two mid-30s men sitting in armchairs talking about spilling the tea on industry awards. Anyway, there is a highly controversial thing to talk about. If you take, you know, put 10 people in a room, half of them are going to absolutely hate awards. Half of them are going to love them and have loads of trophies in their cabinet to talk about their business from. And that's just in agency land. I think a similar sentiment probably exists pretty widely across most other businesses as well. You know, just making an assumption there, but what applies in one place, you can probably apply to another. And awards have a pretty interesting history, right? Go back, you know, a decade, two decades, maybe a bit longer, and award ceremonies for businesses as we know them were mainly only run by chambers of commerce or similar organizations. You know, they were very localized. It was about your geographic area.
Industry experts did it, didn't they?
Industry experts, people in different categories that were contributing to localized economies. And it was all based on merit. It was a meritocracy. It's, you know, these guys have done exceptional work. They're being recognized by their peers. And it was quite a nice thing. But as time has gone on, as with anything, people recognize there's opportunity and it's become massively commercialized. You know, we've got lots of new companies that have stepped into the market now whose sole product, in inverted commas, is awards and the events and the kudos and everything else that comes with them. And there is significant money to be made there, especially in industries who value awards and the reputation it can bring to their work. As they're trying to sell to clients or new customers. You've also got lots of big publishers, so people that would write, you know, big industry publications, news websites, especially as those have increased massively in the amount of traffic and attention they get in recent years. They're also now starting to naturally gravitate towards running their own award ceremonies as well. They've got an audience that's raring to go. They've got a lot of people in a very particular sector or niche that want to talk about what they do. So why wouldn't you give them an opportunity to shout about how great they are against their competitors and then shove them all in a room together and let chaos unfold? It's like Thunderdome.
And charge them a healthy fee to do so.
And charge them a good fee. Yeah, absolutely. It's a capitalist Thunderdome. Yeah, take that, Mad Max. But yes, essentially what it means is you've got that complete commercialization of the awards industry, whether it's for agencies like us or whether it's for manufacturer of widget X. It's going to exist.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is what we're seeing a shift of, is companies that focus not in doing awards because they've already got a market and a kudos and like publications who've always had that kind of credibility in the industry, know the industry really well. We're seeing much more of a shift towards companies that their expertise is running events rather than knowing whether it's a good entry or not.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They might not have any knowledge of what they're actually running the awards
in.
And that in itself, and this is the key problem with awards in modern day and age, is trust and transparency are key, and making it clear that this isn't a pay to win rigged game. Proving that you are a quality awards ceremony is like the main focus for all of these companies, whether they're independent awards companies, whether they're publications, whether it's Chamber of Commerce, anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think finding that way to build their credibility and prove that they're the worthwhile awards. I mean, there must be, what, 100, 200 different awards we could enter within our industry?
I mean, you went to a ceremony last week and there were 70 different categories. 71, I apologise, that one makes the difference.
It does.
So 71 different award categories for a single award ceremony. And yes, there's, you know, dozens of different award ceremonies in that company's portfolio of awards.
Yeah.
So when you start extrapolating that out, there's an insane number of different actual trophies to be given out.
And that's just for one company running one set of awards,
one industry.
Yeah. If awards have so many issues, what's the point in entering them?
Why bother? End of the episode. Thank you for listening. See you next week. No, we're not here to shit on awards. Let's make that really clear from the start. This episode is not about us crapping all over the awards industry, because we love entering awards.
Yes.
At Evolooted, we enter quite a number of different awards across all of the different services we offer. Development awards, design, campaign awards for our marketing campaigns, agency level awards to celebrate the work that, and the culture that we've achieved, you know, as a collective agency. And we do win many, which is nice. And we thoroughly enjoy the process. But the reason we're here is to talk about a lot of good, bad, and ugly within that whole process and the industry. So yeah, starting at the top, there's lots of positives and reasons why we enter those awards. And I think the most pertinent one of those, and the reason why most people do go and enter awards, is the credibility that comes with them.
Yes.
Naturally, if you go through a trustworthy awards company, winning something just adds that lovely punch of credibility to whatever you're selling, whether it's a big badge you can put on your product images on an e-commerce site, whether it's for us as an agency saying, hey, we are SEO agency of the year 2022, 3 and 4. Look at us, amazing guys. Whether you can say we won, you know, best PPC campaign or the most innovative website, whatever it might be, that little extra bit of credibility, it might not be your main focus point, but when you're trying to talk to a customer or a client or somebody you're trying to sell to, having that little badge of approval, that recognition, can just add that extra little exciting factor and bring that oomph that you need to back up the numbers and the results that you've already got.
Absolutely. I think there's, was it about 10,000 agencies in the UK?
Double that,
20,000 agents in the UK, and everyone promises to be the best fit for you.
Absolutely.
And having that little bit of external credibility to say, we think we're great, but so do the people over here, really makes a big difference to our clients.
Yeah. And let's be honest, in our industry, there is very little room to add USPs anymore.
Yes.
Right. There's certain ways to do things. There's certain creativity and bits, elements like that you can pump into the work you do. But at the root of it, what one company offers is basically the same as what another company offers. Your competitive advantage is the people and your ability to deliver work faster and more effectively. So when you've got something like credibility in the form of an award to add to that, it's a great way to get something extra in.
Yeah, it's a great bit of social proof, isn't it?
And then that extends naturally into your marketing as well. You know, it's a great thing to shout about on social media, get your brand press out, to enhance your website with all of your kind of presentations and different sales materials that you can send out.
Yeah.
It just helps enhance the whole spectrum. And I think that's the main reason people enter awards, really.
The next bit that I find really important is the celebration, the morale kind of boost it gives to your team that their work has been nationally recognized or internationally recognized in some cases. And it's great to like win a big award and be able to take that back to the team and go, look what we've won, look what everyone else thinks of us. And that, I think, is a huge part of it. It's that morale boost that comes with that.
It's a nice moment to, when we were all in the office together, be able to walk in the day after an awards ceremony and parade that trophy in and smack it down on the middle of the, you know, the meeting table and go, "Wee, look at this, everyone. Congratulations. Good job."
Yeah, I think that is a really significant part of it.
100%. It's a nice morale boost for everybody. Yeah. It, again, thinking about that oomph and that extra, people work somewhere that they enjoy working. They work for people they enjoy working with. And getting that external recognition and that bit of proof of, yeah, you are working somewhere that is being recognized for the brilliant work you're doing. Like, someone's cared enough about the work you've delivered to enter an award in the first place. And then the fact that you've gone on to win it is a really nice thing for them as well. Like, the morale, the celebration, the success that comes with that.
Yeah.
People love being told that they're amazing.
It's even better coming from an external source, isn't it?
Like, yeah, absolutely. It's one thing with your mum saying, "Oh, I'm so proud of you, sonny. Well done." It's another when, you know, you've got the biggest names in your industry telling you this was really fucking good. Top job.
Yeah. And I think that's, that recognition from peers is the really significant part of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. On the flip side of the reasons to enter awards, there are also a number of equivalent downsides that come with entering awards.
Yeah.
Right? Where there's a plus, there's a negative, and everything has to balance each other out. We've spoken about the celebration and the morale and the happiness and the success that comes with winning an award.
Yeah.
There is also that immense, like, letdown you have when you've got your heart behind something and you don't win.
Absolutely.
You've put hours of effort into writing a great award entry based on a super successful campaign that's delivered amazing results for your clients. They're super happy about everybody's popping the champagne together about how well things have gone. You take the team down, you book a table at one of the awards events, you get the wine in, everybody's having a great night, you've had a great meal, there's a nice buzz going on. And then your category comes up and you sit there and you're waiting to just have that celebration and that moment. And then it goes to somebody else and it's just like a balloon's been popped.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it can be a real letdown, like going down to an awards ceremony and sitting there and you come away from the night with no awards. And obviously someone else has won and very well deserved, but it still can be a little bit of a gut punch, can't it?
Massively.
And there's no real way around that. That is always going to be the way. Everyone can't win, otherwise there'll be no credibility to the awards. But definitely can take a hit on the team if you come back from an awards ceremony having not won anything.
100%. So there is that downside, and it's part of the risk you take with entering.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's part of that acceptable risk, you know, that we might not win.
Yeah.
But we can still go and have a good time, but it doesn't get rid of the fact that it can be that bit of a good punch, especially if you think you've done such a great job and you've got that real chance of winning it. And I think the real risk comes for companies who have had a really strong track record of winning awards and then suddenly stop.
Yeah.
That can be an even bigger morale drop.
Yeah, used to win all these awards every year.
Yeah, you've gone from being the cream of the crop and getting the recognition for it to now just being another name that's being read out and going away empty-handed at the end of the day. And the outside perception as well as the inside perception can be a real negative on that front.
Yeah. Probably a sign you need to up your game at that point, though.
Absolutely. Or get a better writer.
Or get a better writer. We'll come to that.
They're also really expensive, right? That's the key thing we have to say here, at least in our industry.
Yeah.
And there's other industries where they are far more expensive. So for Evoluted and a lot of the awards we enter, we're talking £200 to £300 per category entered in an award. And when we're doing, what, maybe we've done 10 different award ceremonies this year with a minimum of 3 entries into each one.
Yeah.
That starts to add up.
Starts to
really add up.
You're also missing that's just the entries.
That's just the entry.
Yeah.
If you want to attend the award ceremony as well, it gets lots more expensive. You've got the ceremony, you've got the travel, you've got hotels, you've got the drinks bill.
Yeah.
If you are a kind enough employer to actually pay for the drinks on the night. It can be a really expensive thing to go to, especially to come away empty-handed.
Yes.
I guess expense is also in the form of time.
Yeah, I mean, entering and attending the awards takes an awful lot of hours in a year, on top of the kind of tens of thousands of pounds we take to enter them. And I guess that also, like, really restricts what you can do. Like, you put against your sales budgets because it essentially is for your credibility, but then could that money be spent better elsewhere? It's something you really got to consider in it.
Absolutely.
And then I guess the third thing is whether they actually mean anything. Like, is it just everyone going, well done, this is amazing, inside the industry, and it actually doesn't matter?
Yeah, there is that bit of a perception sometimes that it is just industry backpatting. And yeah, a lot of these award ceremonies do get that impression.
Yeah, because there's so many agencies, and I imagine the same in other industries, doing amazing work who don't enter awards. They don't even entertain the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only the best of the best of those who entered.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
So it doesn't really give a full picture of what's going on in the industry.
No, it doesn't give you a full spectrum. Lots gets missed.
Yeah. I think, well, that's where the chamber style events used to do better, was they were generally cheaper to enter or free in a lot of cases, and they're recognised by your peers just on the fact you had head down, getting your work done, doing amazing work for your clients, rather than you having to go out your way to enter the awards and then pay to do so.
Absolutely.
So earlier on, you mentioned that it's quite a controversial topic. Do you want to dive into a little of why it's so controversial?
The biggest thing I see people speaking about when it comes to the awards industry and why they find it so controversial and why they have such conflicting, strong opinions about it.
Very strong.
Very strong. Is it's got a little bit of a reputation and a history of being pay to win.
Ah.
If you think about everything we've just spoken about, of the cost to enter, to attend, to bring 2 people, 5 people, 10 people down. Sometimes I've seen agencies bring like 20 plus.
Two full tables,
which is, you know, lots and lots and lots of money to attend. It can have that sentiment of being pay to win. And the more you spend, the more likely you are to get that award because, hey, yeah, keep coming back year after year and keep spending that money. Going back to, you know, opening of the podcast, trust and transparency is key.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can get around controversial opinions like being pay to win. You have to make it extremely clear and extremely transparent into how your entire process works. If there's any element in there that becomes a black box where something goes in one end and comes out the other end and you have no idea what happens in the middle, people are going to sit there and go, how do I know you're not just giving it to the one that has spent 20 grand to attend?
Yeah.
Whereas it's just me here from my small little company.
Yeah. And especially when they're sometimes judged after you bought tickets.
Yes. That makes it even more difficult to get that trust element in. Yeah. Right? If they're judged after everybody's spent their money.
Yeah. I think that's why it is controversial, but also that huge opportunity for award ceremonies to really double down on that transparency, isn't it? And make sure that they are very honest with what they do. Yeah. And we're seeing a lot more award companies start to provide much more feedback and much more in depth why you didn't win a category or why the winners did win a category.
Absolutely.
It's really nice when you're clapping, like the award's coming up, your name's on the screen as part of the shortlist, and then someone else wins. What's really nice is to see what the judge's comment was about the winner, because it really helps cement it in your mind, like what the amazing work they did was as well.
Absolutely. You know, you're giving that reason why it's been chosen, and that transparency in the judging and the reasons for winning, and even afterwards, the feedback, the, you know, constructive feedback of why you didn't win is super important. And I said we weren't going to shit over the awards industry, and we're not, but here there have been, prepare, here it comes. There have been a number of times we've seen some real issues crop up with awards that we've entered that give you that little bit of a sour taste and that, is this as good as you're making it out to be? You know, there's the classic things of companies exaggerating their results and it not being the true story, and it's a little bit of a white lie. It's not going to hurt anyone, but makes it sound so much sexier when you put it down into the awards entry. There's the whole issue of how many companies actually entered into that award. Yeah. When you see a short list that is about as short as my leg, written in size 8 font.
Yeah, sometimes you can be shortlisted down to 20 companies.
Yeah, like has there actually been any shortlisting done here? Yeah. Or has everybody who's paid to enter just ended up on the list so they can all go, yay, and buy a ticket to attend the awards night?
I think it's a key part of the marketing, isn't it? You're not going to go to an awards night if you're not shortlisted for any categories. Yeah,
absolutely. There's trust issues that are built around those things. There's places where we've entered categories that have then been closed down with the reason of not enough entries.
Yeah, it's always really disappointing, that, isn't it?
Very disappointing.
You're really proud of what you're entering, and then they're like, no, not enough people have done anything that they feel is award worthy in this, so we're not going to run the category.
And how many is not enough?
Right? Yeah.
Were we the only people to enter that category?
Yeah. I mean, it's fair if that's the case. You can't run a category with just us in. That's definitely pay to play.
Not intentionally, pay to play. Yeah, if there's only been one entry into that category, that's pretty poor.
Yeah.
If there's been two, then I think it's okay to have a fair judging process there. You know, if you've at least got one to compare to another,
then you've got something to evaluate.
Yeah. And especially when there's no reason given as to why it's been cancelled. All you know is it's being cancelled, your fee's being refunded.
Yeah.
End of discussion.
At least you get the feedback.
Yeah. And then the one that really, really grinds my gears, and it's probably because I spent too long up north in Sheffield, which has such a strong community feel, you know, proud and northern, blah, blah, blah.
To all the southerners, we adopted Georgia. He's now a true northerner.
Yeah, I migrated and they let me across the border
into
the north. I've now got my northern passport as well.
Yeah. So. He's had to give up all the citizenship of 7.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to mention the L word anymore.
No, absolutely not.
No, okay. I was allowed to visit once this year. Anyway, what we've seen and what really, really pissed me off was a agency that's based just outside of London, and their entire team is based just outside of London. You're going to just slate me for using the L word. Am I going to get kicked out?
Well, we'll talk about the probation.
But basically, they entered the Northern Digital Awards.
That sounds like it's a bit further up than
It London. Sounds like it's a little bit further up than London.
Where were they hosted?
Leeds.
Yeah.
And they won, you know, a company level award, despite not a single person living any higher than the M25. And they may have had a fantastic entry, but the point still stands. If you're trying to build that element of trust and transparency and credibility around your awards, and you allow somebody who, through a very, very simple process of fact checking and quality assurance, would have been disqualified from entering that, and you failed to do so, it just shits all over your credibility. It really does.
It does a little when it's meant to be a celebration of Northern business.
Absolutely. Going back to my original point, like, these are things we've experienced firsthand. Yeah. Just us, one agency out of that 20,000 that you mentioned earlier that are in the UK alone. How many other stories are there like this? And then you wonder why there is a bit of a reputation and a bit of a negative perception across a lot of the industry and other industries about award ceremonies. So focus on the transparency. It needs to be everything. It needs to be from the moment you decide to enter, what are the categories and how do you enter those? How are they, you know,
what
measured?
What you're just looking for.
If there's 10 different boxes you've got to fill in, what's the weighting for each of those boxes? Where should you spend the time? You know, if there's 1,000 word count for the entry, you want to know where you should be prioritizing. How are things like images judged during this? Can I put lots of images into my entry, or do they need to be submitted as supplementary information? Do I need to write a profile and a bio about my company to help you understand the context behind entering this award? If so, is that included in that word count, and how is that judged, or is that purely supplementary information? When it gets through and, you know, judges are reviewing things, how is that judging panel put together and who is designated to judge each of those awards? You can't have a panel of 5 judges to do the 71 different categories in the awards you went to last week, because they are going to be so tired by the end of it. The first one that catches their eye, they're going to be like, yeah, fuck it, give them the award, because I just want to go home and take my shoes off at this point.
It's also, there's 71 different awards, but they're all for different specializations.
Mm-hmm.
Having the same general judging panel just wouldn't work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It needs to be people who know that area well.
And then I guess it goes through to that final stage, the winner's process, and how that final winner is picked based on that judging panel and the criteria they use. How is that deliberation done? How is that winner picked? How do conflicting opinions on that judging panel get decided? Yeah. Is there a head judge? You know, like when you're putting a jury together, you will have a head juror who's there to present the final verdict and that agreement that's made by all members. You need to make it really clear how all of this works and how those are picked, so that people can't sit there and go, well, there's this big black box in the middle and I've got no idea what happened after I sent that PDF to you the other day.
Yeah, it does come back to that transparency, doesn't it? And make sure everyone understands why someone's picked.
Cause,
and also, we get the feedback of why we won, right? Or why we won or why we didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
We always get our individual feedback back.
Absolutely.
But, and well, not always, but a lot of award ceremonies have started doing that, and it's great to see why we were or weren't picked for stuff. But the bit you often miss out on is why a company picked you to the post. What were they doing that's so great?
Absolutely. There's things we know you can do better, but actually what made them stand out so much more off that? Because there's got to be constructive comments given to them as well about things they could do better.
Absolutely.
What was that deciding factor?
And I think that's a bit I'd like to see more of, because it would allow you to see what is getting recognized in the industry, what we should be doing better, because it helps you then work out, okay, well, we didn't do very well on this, the judges have said so. This is an example of someone who is doing well at that. What can we go learn from that?
Yeah. And I think it's important to be careful about what doing well looks like.
Yes.
We know that it's very easy to reward innovation. And by that, I mean doing something in a very convoluted way to look like you've done it intelligently.
But
actually there are much simpler ways to do things, and you've just overcomplicated the whole batch.
Yeah, I think complication can be often mistaken for clever or smart ways of doing things. In actual fact, there's ways to cut out a lot of that.
There's a couple of other things that I want to mention on the controversy side. I'm going to fly through them because they're important, but they're not the key points. Now, the first one is very, very sad, actually, and that going to some of these award ceremonies really brings out the bad side of some people. there have been stories, just like there are at conferences and any other event which brings people together, especially where there's alcohol involved.
Brings out the petty side.
Brings out pettiness. It brings out elements of harassment when people are unchecked as well, and they have this opportunity to roam free, which, you know, needs to be clapped down on and prevented, you know, at any time. But, you know, you get the drinking, you get the machoism, you get the booing that's involved. And sometimes it's very much in a bit of a friendly way, but it can be taken to, you know, a little bit too far. You know, the slating of the people that are there, and especially when you don't win, like, oh, fuck them, you know, oh, I bet they've lied on their whole application. Oh, not very good. Oh, I heard this about their manager.
Yeah.
It all comes out and you hear it at the tables you sit at. Yeah. It really does. It turns into a huge bitch fest.
Yeah. You've got to appreciate that those judges have chosen them for merit and what they've done, and trust that it works. If you're going to enter the awards, you've got to trust in the credibility of them.
So, whilst there's some absolutely phenomenally lovely people that we get to meet at these awards, and there are some that we met and we now see on a very regular basis because we just vibed with them so well, and they're genuinely lovely people, you also get some massive bell ends. And sadly, it's those places that bring them out.
Yes.
And reward them for being like that because nobody cracks down on them. And the final thing I have to say on the controversy side of awards that was brought up is the exclusion element about how many people are excluded because of things like the cost to enter. There are people doing great work that, like you say, have their heads down, grinding away, doing great things that are impacting, you know, their customers, their clients, the world, loads of other people, lots of other stakeholders. But they're excluded from these things because they simply just don't have the funds and the time available to do some arbitrary bullshit like writing 1,000 words about why they're so great.
I mean, as a 40-person agency, we can afford to enter multiple awards in a ceremony, right? Mm-hmm. We can enter 6 or 7 awards or 6 or 7 categories and hope to get a couple awards out of it.
Yep.
For some people, entering one is enough in terms of time and cost. And if they don't win that one, then all their eggs are in that one basket. Whereas we have a little bit more weight and money and time to be able to enter multiple, and it does add a bit of an unfair advantage. And then there's agencies which are bigger than us that probably enter more like 12 to 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least a shortlist of 12 or 15. They might have even entered more.
Some that come and just absolutely sweep up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you see them putting multiple entries into a category as well.
Yeah.
Because they work with two clients that work in that same sector.
And they might both be award worthy, but a smaller agency would only be able to enter one of those.
Yeah, it's very much a bit of a David versus Goliath situation sometimes, except Goliath brought his club down and smashed David into a tiny mush of goo.
Yeah, Dave's got a chance, just not as big as the rest.
Yeah.
I think that's the element of pay to play that still exists, isn't
Absolutely.
You said about 250 an award entry. That really adds up if you're going to enter all of them, and you've got to make the decision if you want to spend the money there or whether it should be spent on another form of advertising.
So, team, should I buy Christmas presents for my kids this year or put us in for an awards category?
Will you win the award category? Because the kids might like the award wrapped up.
Maybe. Wow, Dad, I'm so excited. Anyway, let's move
on. BBC Agency of the Year.
Yeah, woo!
That's a stocking filler.
Anyway, after that expose, I suppose.
Do you feel a bit better after kind of getting it out?
Yeah, and having lighter now. Let's go.
Yeah.
After what to some people may have sounded like my own huge bitch fest about awards, it can make it sound like there's a lot of good reasons not to bother entering.
Yes.
And actually, it's the complete opposite of that. There are tons and tons of great reasons, which we alluded to at the start of the episode. There are reasons we genuinely love entering awards, and we will keep doing so for many, many years to come.
I think my main one is meeting other people. So it's a great opportunity to go meet others from our industry in a way that's not the typical networking where it's high.
Well, how are you? How are you? Are you? Busy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all busy. Yeah. Yeah. Really busy. Yeah. Yeah.
So much work coming through.
Yeah. What's the weather like today? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Freezing. Ooh, get your jumper on.
No, it's a great opportunity to meet other agency operators, whether owners, founders, people who work in the teams, and
people you really respect as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've made some great connections in the award ceremonies we've been to, and people we get in touch with quite a lot.
Yeah,
it's a networking event which doesn't have all the pretense and bravado that it needs to have. to be a networking event.
Absolutely. You know, don't need the perfectly positioned bow tie with the tux on and the, you know, the handshaking with everybody you meet and the sharing of the business cards. It can be, all right, mate, fancy a pint. How's business going? What's cracking?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a bit shit this year, hasn't it? We're struggling as well. Do you want to get it off your chest? And it can just be nice. And there's people that you can meet 3 years later and you can be like, oh, it is lovely to see you again. How's it going? I'm so glad that things have improved. I've seen that amazing thing you worked on. That's absolutely awesome. How did you do it? Like, I'd love to learn about that.
Yeah, and it's something to talk about as well, isn't it? All the awards that are going on, like what they've entered.
Yeah.
What they're going up for, what issues they've had in those. I think, yeah, it gives you a really good base to have those networks and connections.
It's also really nice to meet their teams as well. A lot of the time, as senior leader, director, you know, someone that is running the company, it's all too easy to fall into the trap of only ever meeting people that are at that kind of same level.
Yes.
And there are so many really intelligent, really talented, creative individuals that work for all of these other companies that you never get to meet if all you're doing is going for a networking lunch with other owners, right? These people are like, some of them are hilariously funny, and working in marketing, they are lost. They should be in comedy. Crazy talented, all sorts of other things. Some of them have great, you know, things to share about the traveling they've done and so many other interests they have. And there's this whole wealth of amazing people to meet that you wouldn't get the opportunity to, or we wouldn't get the opportunity to, if all you did was speak to the founders.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You get to meet full companies, don't you? And everything that goes on.
But when you're shouting across the table, pass the bloody butter, my bread's going cold, you get to actually get talking to a lot of different people. We love the time we get to spend with our own teams as well when we go to these events. It's great to be that person that isn't there, you know, focused on the running of the operations, the finances, the client problems, the sales, everything else that comes through. But actually being able to genuinely spend some time with people and have a good laugh with them, get to know them on a much better basis than you're able to, like when you're just running around the office every day.
You also get to celebrate or commiserate together, don't you, as a team? Absolutely. And I think that really bonds a team when you can win like large agency of the year together and all get up on that stage for your photo.
For sure.
It's a really great way to kind of build that bond.
And one other reason that I love going, and it can be hit and miss. It really, really can be hit and miss. But sometimes the food is fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes it's fucking awful.
Sometimes it is terrible. But yeah, we've had some really good meals, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you'd have to pay a lot of money to get a meal like that some places. But, you know, it's rolled into the package along with, you know, the bottles of wine, the entertainment. Yeah. The entertainment is great as well.
Yeah.
Apart from the one time where they had a saxophone player that was horrendously out of time. I'm a drummer, you know, beat and rhythm is my thing. If somebody's out of time, it frustrates the hell out of me. And this guy was tooting along on his saxophone all night, just irritating the pants off me.
I seem to remember the rage.
Yeah, there was a lot of it. But yeah, the food, the entertainment, like it can all be brilliant as well. It can genuinely be a really good evening and a way to like de-stress, decompress from things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it can be a really good night. It's top entertainment at a lot of these events.
Yeah. There's lots of genuine reasons we love awards, and we'll continue to be entering them, continue to be attending them, taking our teams down to them, and encouraging other people to do the same. Just not in the same categories, then there's less competition.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Please enter other categories.
Yeah. I'll give you a list in the show notes for the podcast. And it's all the entries we're going to be putting through that you guys listening cannot enter. And then there's less competition.
Hang on a minute. We need some of them to enter. Otherwise, the category is closed.
Crap. I haven't thought this through.
We can give them a list of entries to enter badly.
Yes. I will give you some pre-made PDFs of entries you can put through. So there's plenty of other entries. They're just not going to be very good.
Do you think this is going to ruin our credibility of winning awards?
Maybe. Are we the problem?
We might be the problem.
Shit. Let's move on.
So if I said to you, Giorgio, I want to start an award ceremony, what would you suggest we did to make it a good, transparent, and credible award ceremony?
Great question. There's a number of things I would like to change about the way current awards are run. I think there's a great template there. Yeah. And I don't think there's too much you need to deviate from to really nail down that trust, that transparency, the credibility and the reputation.
Yeah. Some are doing it really well, right?
Some are doing it really, really well. Absolutely. And they're the ones to emulate. But there are some things that they do that I would just make some small tweaks to really drive that credibility to the next level. The first of which is absolutely no popular vote methods for winners. Absolutely none. and a personal story. And yes, there's a little bit of bitterness here because I missed out on an award. I was nominated for Outstanding Contributor to the North.
To the North, not the South.
To the North. Yeah. I don't want to lose my passport. Don't want to lose the visa. I was nominated for Outstanding Contributor to the North in 2020 for various stupid things, whatever. And that category was split 50-50 between a judging panel of senior business leaders in the North that were all in their own right running multi-million pound companies. The other 50% was popular vote. And whether it was true or not is not to be debated. But I was told after the fact, after losing the award, that the judges absolutely loved my entry, the things that I'd done, the contributions I'd made to the North. But I lost because of the public vote, because my network wasn't big enough. And I was very, very sad. And it's absolute bullshit, because winning that award meant having the biggest social media network, having the biggest number, the biggest email list that you could pump that out to and encourage to put entries through for. And it just doesn't sit right. It
feels a bit like Eurovision, where it's not the best that wins. It's the same countries every year.
Yeah, but they're the ones that have the popularity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that I feel has no place in professional awards.
Yeah. I think there's an element of peer auditing, and I think it's good to get recognition from peers. But if it's just a pure vote-based system of who gets the most votes, then it doesn't really work, does it?
Absolutely.
Go follow Georgia now, so next time he doesn't miss out.
Yep. Next time I'm up for Outstanding Contributor, I can make sure all of our lovely listeners send me a vote through.
Yeah.
The second change I'd make, improving feedback systems. So we've spoken already about getting great feedback from judges for some of the awards that we enter.
It's getting better every year.
It's getting better every year. We get a combination of both positive comments about every entry and a constructive comment about every entry. Sometimes multiple ones for each entry from different judges, which is really good.
There's nothing worse when you've just got a positive comment but didn't win.
Absolutely. But I do imagine that lots of awards don't have any systems like that in place. They don't have the feedback systems in place. But where the real improvement comes is with QA and quality assurance on this feedback, because half the time the feedback, as good as it is to receive, doesn't make sense. It feels like judges aren't clear on what criteria companies have been given to enter.
Yeah.
And there's like a bit of a disconnect in that, you know, what we're told versus what they're told. Yeah. And so they can give feedback that addresses things like, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? Would have liked to see, you know, a bigger amount of information on this case study.
Yeah.
And when you're limited to 1,000 words, that has to be split between these 5 different sections. If they're not aware of that, they're going to go, well, why did you only write this little bit about your case study? Well, because I was absolutely constrained, you know.
Yeah.
It's one side of A4.
Yeah. They sometimes get very different information, or they take the title in a very different way to
100%
how you expect it to be taken.
Yeah.
And clarity around that would be really useful.
For sure. And there's also sometimes some very, what's the word I'm looking for? High expectations from the judges. And now obviously there's high expectations, it's an awards ceremony. But there are impossible expectations as well. And this is another lovely story, another anecdote from an award we've entered. One of our digital PR campaigns got entered into an award, and it was around the topic of gym harassment and women being harassed in gym environments and how that was impacting them, how it was stopping them from exercising, and the call for safer spaces and women-only gyms. A really powerful campaign with true importance behind it that had great data collection methods behind it, and actually resulted in our client being invited to the House of Commons to talk about the issue and ways we can combat it.
Yeah. So that felt really achievement for us, right?
Absolutely. We were really proud. The client was really proud that his company was being, you know, represented like this. Until the judge slated us for not achieving radical societal change, and instead of just writing about the research we'd done, actually going out there and stopping women from being harassed in gyms. Now, we have a team of 3 digital PRs that were working on that.
And it was a PR...
It award, was a PR right. award and a campaign that was designed to highlight the issue.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, we weren't capable of making international change to prevent women being harassed through a single campaign.
No, I mean, it really hit the team hard, though, didn't it?
It like, did. Feedback, it really, really
They were really proud them. Of what they'd done. They brought the issue to the attention of the House of Commons. It started a really big conversation around it.
You know, Sky News were talking about it, right? There were some real achievements here, but the feedback given to the team behind the award was, why haven't you changed the world yet? Sort your fucking shit out and crack on with it.
Yeah, which wasn't a feasible thing within that, and the client's gone on to carry on the work and mm-hmm. make more improvements and start changing things. But the award entry or the category wasn't anything to do with actually shifting the perspectives of people.
So there are some real systematic changes that need to be made to how feedback is formulated, how it's delivered, and how the people judging and providing that feedback understand the criteria that people are given for the
expectations.
Entries. Yeah, if there's a disconnect, it all falls apart.
Yeah.
And now the third and final change that I would make, a bit deeper into that quality checking in the QA on entries submitted, basically revolves around making sure that entries are genuine, they are up to date, and they are of the quality that should be there to represent people who are trying to win an award.
Yeah.
I have spoken to people who were quite open and honest before about submitting the exact same entry into multiple awards, in fact, over multiple years as well, without changing any of the dates, without changing any of the numbers that were in there, who have then gone on to win significant awards for that work. And a very simple QA process would have pulled that out and disqualified them from doing that.
Yeah, if you're talking about last year's results in this year's entry.
When the criteria actually give you specific date ranges that you should be talking about for your entry, and yours is clearly talking about a date range before that, somebody should have pulled that up. There needs to be some proper QA going on.
Even if it was great work that year, it's still should be focusing on this year and give other people the opportunity to win that award.
Absolutely. Now, it reflects really badly on the people who submitted that.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're talking about it does not make that better.
No.
That's not cool. But it also, it reflects on the ability of the organisers and those judging panels to be trusted, to be judging things based on the genuine merit and quality of achievement.
It's almost like it has to go through a QA process before it gets to judges, right?
Absolutely.
And I think part of that is also anonymising.
Mm-hmm.
So often judges can be easily swayed by what they know about a particular campaign or a particular agency outside of the award entry.
Yeah, and especially when we're talking about those ones that have got a reputation, celebrity status within the industry.
Yeah, they should win on the merit of that entry rather than the clout they have in the industry.
Absolutely. Yeah, some anonymization would go a long way.
Yeah.
And then I think the other point that I want to make on the QA element is, this year has been the rise of AI. I mean, we've been using LLMs for a very long time. The point being that it's now more accessible than ever for somebody to potentially spin their entry through GPT-4 or any other language model to spruce things up that, you know, might exaggerate even more than a human might.
We know ChatGPT doesn't always tell the truth.
It does like to elaborate sometimes.
It does like to elaborate.
Now, if we're failing to do the QA on people not changing the dates between entries, how the fuck are you going to catch them out if they're just getting, you know, GPT to write their entire entry and spruce things up? If there's no fact checking, there's no data there to back that up that can be verified.
I think
you've lost all credibility.
Fact checking's a key one, right? Because I could write an entry that says I've done 1,000% improvement on a website and no one's going to call me on it unless it just seems unlikely. But there needs to be some way to fact check, and it would be really difficult to build in, especially in our industry in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the numbers are quite closed. Yep. Companies don't like to share that, and you can make a number look however good you want it to look, right?
Yeah, especially percentages.
Yeah, percentages can look amazing depending on what you compare them to and how you grow it. Like, we've launched a site recently that was doing very terrible before we launched it. You could easily report it had a 10,000% increase in sales because it's gone from 1 to 10,000.
Yep.
And that's like, it's not that great, but it looks amazing.
10,000 sales is pretty great.
It's quite good. Yeah.
I know that you picked some numbers out of the air to demonstrate that, but
yeah, it's not bad.
So yeah, it would be popular vote has no place. Feedback systems need improving and QA systems need improving.
Yeah.
The rest of it's pretty good. Like we said, really entertaining events, great food, great people to meet. the cost could maybe be brought down a bit, but hey ho, pretty good. Like, yeah, solid foundation. Let's just get those credibility bits through. And I think that's the theme of this whole conversation we've had today, is credibility and trust needs to be the core foundational pillars of any kind of award, whether it's in marketing, whether it's in development, whether it's in cleaning services, whether it's in accountancy, whether it's in dairy farming. I don't care. Those elements need to be there, and they need to be the most important things throughout the entire process.
I think without the credibility, it's just like every fish and chip shop on every corner voted best fish and chip shop.
Oh God.
Normally by the owners of the fish and chip shop.
Yep.
Like, credibility has to be...
Andy and Sarah's Fish and Chips voted number one fish and chip shop in the Andy and Sarah Awards 2023. Yeah.
So it has to be all about credibility and transparency. So I assume we're going to carry on entering awards from here.
We are going to carry on entering awards. We're going to keep going and attending the events. We're going to keep taking our team to celebrate and enjoy the night. And fingers crossed, we're going to keep winning.
I hope so.
I do genuinely believe that the awards industry is a great thing for businesses of all shapes and sizes in all different sectors. Depending on which side of the fence you're currently sitting on, hopefully you've seen a fair perspective of the other side. If you're somebody who's been, you know, strongly against entering awards for various reasons, whether it's because of that pay-to-play perception, whether you feel like it's a bit of back-patting that's going on or anything else, I hope that us having a bit of a fair and open conversation about the different sides and the different bits that go into awards has given you a bit of a change of perception on whether to go for something, you know, that might be important to you, that might add some credibility, that might generally just give you a nice opportunity to go and meet other people in your industry, take your team out and spend some time with them as well. Similarly, if you are somebody who enters a lot of awards and is like, yeah, let's go, 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 let's win, 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 and potentially maybe some of the ones that are demonstrating some of those more negative behaviours that come out of those award ceremonies, hopefully it's maybe given you some food for thought. Maybe you'll think about, you know, the types of awards you enter, the quality and the effort that you put into those entries, and the way that you decide to go about making sure that if the awards company itself is focusing on credibility and reputation, that you are similarly matching that and making sure you do a great job of what you're putting forwards as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no one right way to do it. It will always come down to personal preference and opinion. But I think we've covered quite a lot off. Lots of different perspectives, different opinions, and we're going to keep going. If you're in a marketing agency or a development agency, or you operate in the same places as us and you are entering awards, please look out for us on the shortlist and come and say hello if we're ever at the same ceremony together.
Awesome. That's all for today, folks.
That's all, folks. Thank you for listening. Well, that's a wrap on episode 3. If you've been enjoying People Over Pixels, let us know by leaving a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and make sure to hit follow to be notified when new episodes drop. Now, we've tried to cover as many perspectives as we could cram into 30 minutes today, but we'd love to know your thoughts on entering business awards too. You'll find links to mine and Sam's LinkedIn profiles in the show notes, so hop on over there and connect with us. Bonus points for mentioning the podcast when we connect. Thanks for listening, and see you next time. Ciao.